This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So it's all doom and gloom here at Triple Captain Towers, but my co-host and my producer have neglected to mention that I just scored 97 points on my bench boost. I'm Luke Jurdy, top 10K finisher, actor and FPL addict, and I'm joined by my co-host Rich Wolfenden, TalkSport commentator and more up and down in the rankings than a yo-yo this season. Welcome everybody to Triple Captain.
How are you doing, mate? Are you okay?
I'm very well, thanks, Rich. Yeah. Good. Finally a good week on FPL. Finally. Hey. Since the restart, it's been pretty dire. Either very small green arrows or horrible red arrows for me. So it's nice that the bench boost was a success. It could have been even better if Wolves hadn't conceded that last minute goal against Sheffield United. Whoa. That would have taken me over 100 points with Johnny and Saïs in my team. And it feels like I did get a nice green arrow. I'm not complaining, of course. I've gone from 115K up to 71K. So a nice rise. But nice. I think the caveat to that is it seems like everybody around me has done pretty well as well. So I've only really gained kind of 20 or so points on mini league leaders, which right. for a bench boost, you kind of want to gain even more. But if we're focusing on overall rank, I'm really happy to be back inside the top 100K and can hopefully push for top 50K for the end of the season. So, nice. So yeah, it's a success overall. I'm happy with 97 points. But that's so a little good. Bit more doom and gloom over in yours.
A little bit, yeah. I was going to say, is that the highest you've scored all season? Is that your highest total?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah. I think it's close to my best score ever in a game week. I think last season I just got over the line for 100 points with a bench boost. I can't remember, but it's definitely my best score this season. Yeah. And Pretty much everything seemed to go right. There was about four players who didn't get attacking returns. Yeah. But everybody else seemed to get, you know, good returns. I put the wrong captain again, unfortunately, which has been the case most of the season. I captained KDB.
Still, he had a good game.
You know, still a good game. And also I got rid of Salah for Sterling. So that would have been an 8-point swing in my direction. I mean, thankfully Sterling came on and got 10 points in about 25 minutes, which was amazing. So I was all smiles, and then Liverpool played and Salah got his 18-point haul to punish the sellers yet again. it could have been so much better as always, but Nick Pope, superb again with 8 points. Wan-Bissaka with 5, Robertson came off the bench and got 5 points. Amazing. Luca Dean got 6. Pulisic with a 9. Sterling with 10. KDB captain with 14. Fernandez, of course, with 14. Antonio with a 2. And then Greenwood and Ings as well. It was so nice to finally own Danny Ings with his 9-point haul. So all in all, yeah, pretty good bench boost.
You've done very, very well. I mean, I feel like I've had a good week. You've had a good week. Next week, Ben, it's all about you. If we can keep this like run going of great results week after week for each one of us, then it's a great advert for the podcast.
I need one because I've had the worst week I've had in a really long time. This first red arrow week I've had, even a month, or maybe even 2 months before lockdown, but I've dropped 100,000 places.
Oh, jeez.
100,000 places was your total? In 1 week. I got 54. The average was 59. But I just messed up with Son captain against Bournemouth. I thought everyone who plays Bournemouth will just spank him at the moment. It's not just bad for my FPL team. It's bad for Villa and our relegation battle that Bournemouth managed to get a draw there.
Yeah.
Son, I think just avoid all Spurs. Especially after that little bust-up he had with Lloris earlier.
That was the Everton game. It was Monday night, yeah. And I have no idea what that was about. I think it was just a bit of disagreement because Lloris is the captain, right? And I just don't think Son was, you know, doing what he was being told by his captain. I think it was just as simple as that, but I don't know. There's got to be a pretty bad dressing room atmosphere if you're going in on your teammates, surely.
Just wait till you're in the dressing room. Like, it just seems really toxic. Yeah. Tottenham, I think, at the moment.
They were winning 1-0 as well at that point, and that's how it finished. But they're playing Arsenal this weekend, so I might keep Kane in. But I'll talk a little bit about that later. But yeah, so my team last week absolutely smashed it, didn't they? A nice big 103, the highest week I've ever had in FPL. Finished 3,000th in the weekly ranking. This week, my weekly ranking is 3.3 million. So I've not really had the consistency, shall we say. A bit of a disappointing week for me. Bit of a red arrow out. I think I was about 85K, something like that. And down to 114. So dropped out of the 100,000. Oh, this running is going to be so difficult because the goal has always been to finish in the top 100,000. And it's just going to get harder and harder because the consistency, even the teams who should be doing well, like Wolves and Sheffield United and Tottenham, aren't doing well like at all. Like, you could always rely on Leicester earlier in the season. Now it seems like Man United are the team to rely on, but you can pack your team with United players. But I honestly don't know what other team you pack your team out with. It's too hard to answer.
Yeah, I think the thing is most of the big hitters, and there's a lot of players that are doing very well, hence the high average scores since the restart. There's been lots of high averages. So if you miss out on just a couple of those players and get unlucky, you know, like people that have owned Rashford in the last few weeks, for instance, been really unlucky. He's had the ball in the back of the net three times in the last two games, and both times, unfortunately, the goals were disallowed. Apart from his penalty, he's due to take the next penalty for United. So, you know, there's little instances like that when lots of big players are doing well. And if you own a couple of the big players that aren't doing as well, you're going to get a red arrow, unfortunately.
Yeah, like bloody Son, who I put my captain's armband on this week. He got 1 point. Vice captain's armband was on Mane, who got 0 points because he came on for a point, then got a yellow card. Lads, I know we haven't talked about these game weeks are coming so quick. I know we haven't actually talked about the kind of theme for this episode yet, but can I make a theme suggestion just from a kind of selfish point of view?
Go for it.
Who are, would you say, the running must-haves? We've got a few games left. Who have you got to have in your team between now and the end of the season?
I mean, it's so difficult because I feel like anyone can beat anyone at the moment. But just because of his value and the form that Manchester United in, I mean, I don't know how you can't not have Greenwood in your team. He's so, so cheap. He's starting every single game. You know, he's completing most games as well. What is he, 4.7 million? And he's got 4 goals in his last 4 games. So I don't know how you can't have Greenwood in. I understand it's, you know, now is the time to get Manchester United players in. And there's a raft of players you can have in. I mean, we even saw Pogba score in the last game, didn't we? So you could even consider Pogba for an option. But for me, I don't...
Villa, though.
True, but, you know, Manchester United are like the informed team, aren't they? All right, they've not been playing great teams like, you know, Bournemouth and Villa and that sort of thing. But, you know, they're still turning teams over by like decent score lines as well. I mean, I've had my captain's armband on Martial for the last 2 weeks and he's delivered every week. I mean, he only got an assist in the last game, but you know, it's still something to shout about. But for me, Greenwood an absolute must. Fernandes, who I've just seen has been given player of the month by the Premier League, you've got to have him in as well. And then you've got to have a third Manchester United option in there as well. I'd go for Martial, but you know, like Luke was just saying, Rashford could be on the next penalty for Manchester United and he's still getting all the stats. He's still getting the ball in the back of the net. So presumably, you know, it's just a matter of time until Rashford's look changes direction. But yeah, Greenwood out of everyone at United. Never thought I'd say this earlier in the season, but yeah, he's the must have. Because I think earlier in the season he was the one who everybody had as their like substitute striker on the bench when he wasn't really getting a game, and that's just because he was a striker who was cheap and played for Manchester United and might have got a sniff. But now he's a genuine must have. I mean, he must have been on like, you know, owned by less than 5% or something like that. There's now nearly a quarter of players in FPL that own Greenwood. So yeah, you miss out big time if you don't put Greenwood in your team.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with all that, Rich. My only caveat would be, which I tweeted earlier on, I went on a bit of a tweeting spree on the Triple Captain Twitter earlier, and I said that there's a lot of people rushing to sell Rashford for Greenwood. And I think if you've got two free transfers and you can downgrade Rashford for Greenwood, make a big saving and upgrade your team elsewhere, then yes, I would do it if your team desperately needs work. But if you are taking a hit to get rid of Rashford, I would advise against it. There's no point making a sideways move for a minus four when there's every chance that Rashford could score a couple of goals next game. Say United get another penalty and break the record for most penalties in a season.
Which is mad, which by the way.
Which you wouldn't bet against them. I mean, we seem to have VAR on our side at the moment as well. I mean, that Fernandes penalty was a crazy decision, I have to say. But it's more than likely that Rashford will take the next penalty as well. And like I say, he's been unlucky, still having lots of shots. He looks like he was annoyed at himself yesterday for not getting on the score sheet. So I don't think there's any point in taking a minus four to get rid of someone for Greenwood when Greenwood might blank next game and Rashford might score a couple. But Greenwood is a fantastic option. He's such a lethal finisher, like the best finisher I've seen for a very long time. That's reminds me of Robin Van Persie.
That's something you don't coach either, isn't it? That's just something that it just kind of like happens. Like, it's impossible to teach like that natural finishing instinct. Like, few strikers in the world are born with it.
Which other player in the league right now that every time they even get on the edge of the box, you think it's going to go in? Like, I don't think there's another, I can't think of another player like that where, you know, edge of the box, fair enough, inside the penalty box, there's a lot of lethal finishers. But in terms of players that, he just gets on the edge of the 18-yard box and you think that's going in.
Yeah.
Like, he's so clinical and just completely busts wide open people that, you know, people like myself, actually, that always go on stats and XG and amount of shots and stuff. Whereas Greenwood is an example of a player, along with Vardy as well, actually, who just doesn't need four or five shots to get a couple of goals. He needs two or three.
Yeah.
And they'll go in. It's like, he's just absolutely lethal.
Do you remember when Torres first signed for Liverpool? And literally whenever he get the ball on the edge of the box, all the defenders would back off. And you can just guarantee however he struck it, whatever technique he used, he would always manage to find just inside the post. And that's what Greenwood seems to be all about at the moment. Like, it's unbelievable. I was just seemingly come from nowhere this season. And who knows, next season, well, the end of this season, Manchester United could have two academy graduates leading the line.
Yeah. I genuinely don't think that we need to go for a huge player like Jadon Sancho right now. Mm. I think we need good backup players and Sancho's not going to be happy to sit on the bench. We need good, strong backup players that can come in for Rashford, Greenwood, Martial if needed. Because at the moment, why change it? I mean, they're just absolutely lethal right now. They've scored more goals than Liverpool's front three. So it's all looking rosy for United. And I think, yeah, in terms of FPL, I think you've got to have Fernandes because he's just a huge rank killer. I mean, even if you don't captain him, he can hurt your rank. So because so many people are captaining him as well, which will bring us on to another talking point, actually, with who to captain for the rest of the season. But in terms of must-haves, I think if I had a wild card left, I'd probably target the players that are still in the race for the golden boot, because they all seem to be scoring goals. And so it's clear that it's in their head, you know, so I'd be getting Vardy in, I'd get Salah in, I'd get Ings, and I'd get Aubameyang as well if you could afford him.
Really? Even though the upturn, like all the chaos in his contract and that sort of thing, you'd still bring him in?
Yeah, I think he's going to want that golden boot, isn't he? And so I think I'd maybe be targeting those golden boot players for the remainder of the season.
I mean,
obviously City as well look great. They looked brilliant again against Newcastle, but with Pep's rotation, you are going to have to take the rough with the smooth there and know that in the final three games, it's more than likely that even De Bruyne will be benched for one of them. So make sure you've got decent options on the bench to come in if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the, I mean, obviously you want to get in as many players as those you can. Did you see Ings' goal against Everton, by the way? It's the most comical goal. Like, Jordan Pickford, I have no idea what's going on in his head. He's just absolutely chaotic at the moment. But out of those players, you know, excluding those players rather, I don't think you can look past Willian. Like, for me, you've got to have Greenwood, Fernandes, and then outside of Manchester United must-haves, I think Willian is top of the list. Because, I mean, just looking at his past few games now, like since the return of football, all right, first game he got 2 points. But then from there, he got a goal against Manchester City, so that's a nice big 10 points. Then got two goals against West Ham, nice big 14. Got a goal against Watford, 9 points. Got two assists against Palace in the last game for 11. Like, I don't know what it is, but he's coming to the end of his contract. It's almost like he's playing for a move to a big club because his form has been the best it's been all season. And when he's scoring, you know, double figures most weeks during lockdown, you know, I don't know how you can't have Willian in, because there is something about Chelsea at the moment. But I think we touched on it in a past podcast that it's pretty hard to pinpoint exactly who you'd have in your team. But for me, it's pretty much nailed on now. You've got to go for Willian. A 7.3 is he, I think, now? Like, he's got to be the golden boy for them.
Well, it's that Willian Pulisic link-up, isn't it? Like, those two have just come alive together. It's amazing watching those two. Like, I would actually go for Pulisic over Willian, though, if I was going to choose Chelsea, just because he seems to be the one who's on the end of it more often. Willian's kind of getting a lot of assists in, and obviously he's getting his goals, but I just think Pulisic seems to be in the dangerous position more often.
Yeah.
Luke, it's funny what you're saying about I wouldn't take a -4 for a sideways move, because that's exactly what I've done this week. I was so cross with Son, and Rashford just, you know, that bad... I want three United players. I was watching, obviously, the Villa game last night, and I think Martial looks... so alive at the moment. So this week I've taken a -4. I've got Son out and replaced him with Martial, but I had to get Rashford out because I've already got Bruno and I've got Mason Greenwood. So I've replaced him with Vardy because I think that Jamie Vardy is going to get the golden boot now.
I mean, if you had a front three for the end of the season, I couldn't see past anybody better than having Ings, Vardy and Greenwood. Like, that is a good value, like strike force as well. Like, at the moment I've got Greenwood, Kane and Jimenez, and there's a lot of money invested in those strikers. Whereas if you go with those three that I've just said, you can reinvest so much more in your midfield with the likes of Fernandes, the likes of Salah, that sort of thing. So it is possible to get there. If you've still got a wild card, this is the week to use it.
Just before we move on to captains, Luke, would you say that John Egan is a must-have defender?
No, I wouldn't. I think it's going to be interesting next season with Sheffield United defenders. I mean, I was looking at, I've been kind of working out a point system. I say working out, I stole it from somebody else a couple of seasons ago. But I've been going through a points per game system in order to pick players for next season. And obviously Sheffield United defenders score very highly because they've only had the one season in the Premier League. So it's going to be really interesting next season how many people go with Sheffield United defenders when Dean Henderson might be moving back to United. It's just going to be really interesting in general to see how they perform next season as a defensive unit and if they will continue to get those big scores. Because also it's very unlikely that any Sheffield United defender will be priced below 5.5 million next year. So it's going to be interesting to see. And what were we talking about before that? Yes, front three. Yeah, I think I'd agree with that, Rich. The way to go is Ings, Vardy and Greenwood. And if you wanted to target those golden boot players, then yeah, Ings, Vardy and Aubameyang. But obviously then you'd have to go less money in midfield because you're probably going to want Mo Salah as well, maybe. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if he gets benched, but you can imagine he won't because he's Liverpool's best player. They're going for the points record. He will be in Klopp's ear. Klopp seems to have a very interpersonal relationship with his players. He certainly doesn't feel like a dictator. Obviously, he gets, you know, the final decision on everything, but he's not a dictator, is he? And I think Salah will be in his ear saying, I want to play, I want the goals. And I regret getting rid of Salah now after that performance against Brighton. And by the way, he is an absolute monster. I looked at his points per game over the last three seasons, and he's so consistent. He's the best player by far in FPL. He gets, I think it was like 7.18 points per game on average every week for three seasons. That is a huge score. That's and mad. Way out in front of anybody else. So I think, you know, ahead of next season, obviously I'm planning very early right now, but ahead of next season, you have to have Salah in your team. You just have to. He's the best player in the game for three seasons. That's just so consistent.
I was going to ask about that though. When do we know when the next season's going to start yet?
No.
September.
Oh, it is going to start, so it's going to be September.
They've not got a nailed on date for it yet though, have they?
No.
That's great though, because it's basically like, in terms of, because I'm obviously annoyed with this season because I'm a wasted wild card and I've dropped 100,000 places in a week. But if the next season's going to start that quickly, you can basically completely base it on this end of running form, can't you?
Yeah, essentially.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review to help more people discover us.
I get why, Ben, you've done that move, by the way. It might seem sideways, but to get, because you've gone Rashford to Martial effectively, haven't you?
Yeah.
But I think you're absolutely right to get Son out your team and to get Vardy in before his fixture against Bournemouth, I think is a good move. And I think in order to negate that -4, I think you should captain Vardy for sure against Bournemouth.
That's what I've done. So cool. I suppose that leads nicely on to who should be captain then. Because, yeah, I always think that when you do a -4, you've got to stick the captain's armband on someone you brought in, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Taking a hit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it brings us on nicely to that talking point, because obviously last game week we were talking about do you target the weak teams for your captaincy, or do you target the best players with the form and, you know, decent fixtures? For instance, Bruno Fernandes, do you leave the captain's armband on Bruno for the rest of the season? He's showing no signs of slowing up. But then the caveat to that is, well, he's bound to blank sometime, isn't he? So do you leave it on him, or do you switch it in terms of fixtures? Obviously, it didn't work this game week for people captaining Spurs assets against Bournemouth, because Jose Mourinho is single-handedly destroying another football club. Like, it's so predictable. Like, one of my best friends is a Spurs fan, and I said this exact thing, and he knew it as well. When Mourinho moved to Spurs, I said, he will destroy your team. He did it to Man United. He did it. He's done it to every team he's been at, even if he's got success with them, you know, aside from maybe Porto and Inter when, you know, his brand of boring football was actually winning games. He's destroyed every single team he's been at. Like, what was Daniel Levy thinking? Mm. And also, you know, what were we thinking that Spurs might do well against Bournemouth? Like, they can't beat anybody right now.
Yeah, his last great achievement in football was finishing second to Manchester City. Let's remember that.
Yeah, he does a Paddy Power advert saying not all amazing achievements win trophies. And he's holding a paper of United finishing second in the league to City. Yeah. Like, it's embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. And I'm so happy to see his downfall.
I know, yeah. It's mad. It's crazy to think that last year they were Champions League finalists and now they're 10th in the Premier League. What is going on? Anyway, speaking of Spurs, I think I might captain Harry Kane this weekend.
No.
Yeah, because there's some theory in this madness, by the way. Harry Kane has one of the greatest goal scoring records against Tottenham in their derbies. So he's...
Do you mean against Arsenal?
Sorry, yeah, against Arsenal. See, I've only just woken up. Give me a break. his record is 10 for 10. Against Arsenal, the red team in London.
Yeah, Rich, fine. But he's never been managed by Jose Mourinho against Arsenal. Well, maybe he has been for one game. But you cannot captain Kane if you want a green arrow next week. You cannot do it. It's there's just no point. Like, I think it's a huge gamble.
Yeah, it's a huge gamble. And I think
Bruno's got a good home fixture against Southampton. Admittedly, it'll probably be the toughest fixture United have played since the restart. But City players are a great option. They've got Brighton, who have conceded 3 against United and 3 against Liverpool. There's better options out there. Leicester have got Bournemouth. Like, yeah, you just can't in your right mind. Arsenal's defence has really improved.
Yeah, it has.
As well.
But this is just one of those things that, like, footballers come against teams and they always score against them. Like, you can't really put your finger on what it is. Like, Drogba always used to score against Arsenal. Like, Shearer always used to score against Everton. Like, this is just one of those things. Kane always scores against Arsenal. So, all right, it doesn't seem like he's in the right kind of form to do so. I think he had 13 touches or something in the first half of the Bournemouth game the other night. But this is why it's a great opportunity to put the captain's armband on him, because nobody else is going to be doing it unless, you know, you're an Arsenal or Tottenham fan.
Do you think he'll score more points? I mean, bearing in mind, you need him to score more than one goal, really, to make that worthwhile. Unless, you know, Bruno blanks, KDB blanks, Sterling blanks, Salah blanks.
Yeah.
To make that worthwhile, he's got to score more points than them. So do you think he's going to score two goals against Arsenal? Or a goal and an assist?
I do tend to captain a midfielder just because their goals are a lot more valuable, and then they get the clean sheet bonus as well. See, now you're putting doubt in my mind, Luke. Come on. I mean,
I'm trying to help, mate. I'm trying to help.
I just think, you know what? This is the opportunity for a roll of the dice. This is probably going to be... I've been pretty sensible with my captain's armbands throughout the season, and I think this is the first time where I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to captain Harry Kane. He's still got 2-4, which isn't a bad return considering Spurs have been absolutely woeful. So, you know, he may be due one against a team he always scores against, who knows?
I mean, the amazing thing is you can get to Jamie Vardy in one move without a hit.
I know.
And you're thinking about Captain Kane. Oh my gosh.
I know. Well,
this is big. I mean, if it comes off, it'll be a masterstroke.
I know.
And if it doesn't, I think we might lose listeners next season.
I mean, I was thinking, my thinking was I could either go Kane to Vardy, do that transfer, because like you say, I've got one free transfer, or I can do Jimenez to Ings. And I was thinking of bringing Ings in and captaining Kane, and then if he doesn't deliver this week, I'll then make the move to Jamie Vardy, and hopefully it's not too late and I've missed out on a Jamie Vardy hat-trick. So,
well, Leicester's final two games are against, they've got United the last game of the season.
Yeah.
And I think they've before that they've got, in 37, I think they've got Arsenal, maybe, or Chelsea?
Right.
I can't remember. But they've got two tough games to finish. I think they might have Sheffield United after this weekend as well, after this game week.
Well, I mean, for as far as Leicester's
the
tactic
time
goes,
for Vardy is now.
I mean, as far as Leicester's
triple
tactic
captain.
Goes.
Right, the time for Vardy is now. I'm going to triple captain him right now.
Are you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, what, Ben, have you still got bench boost as well, or is it just triple captain?
I've got triple captain and I've got free hit.
Ooh. You've got free hit as well?
You're running out of time.
But I like to play that on the kind of last.
Yeah, save that free hit for the last game week, I would say.
Jamie Vardy, do it for. I need him. I need you, Jamie. I need a hat-trick.
Yeah, triple captain
Bournemouth.
Is a great option. Yeah, good. Yes. Good.
This has been a chaotic last 5 minutes.
Fits the name of this podcast. Yes. I'm
this
chuffed.
Could be this could be your game week. Like we were saying, I've done 103, Luke's done 97. This could be Ben. Ben comes in with 145. We'll click on that highest score and there will be Ben. Top scorer.
I'm not quite sure. Looking around, it's going to need a few miracles, but hey.
You never know. The guy who had the highest score a few weeks ago, triple captain Johnny, and he was the highest scorer in the world. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
right. Jamie Vardy, let's have a party. Yes. Boom.
Cool.
How about you, Luke? Who's your captain on?
I think it's going to be on Bruno Fernandes.
For the rest of the season?
Not necessarily for the rest of the season, but I think for this game week, yes. I might change. I'll have a look at a few stats and that again. But just what, you know, obviously I watch a lot of football since the restart, but obviously I pay most attention to United. And he's just involved in absolutely everything. You know, it's a real surprise if he doesn't assist or score a goal. Again, last night, two assists and a goal. He was involved in every single one. He's a very safe captain pick at the moment. And I think, although, you know, I think Southampton look a really good side at the moment. I thought they were really solid and against Everton and perhaps deserved a bit more out of that game, particularly their chances in the first half. So it won't be a walk in the park for United. And as a Wan-Bissaka owner, I'm a little bit worried about clean sheet possibility because I think our defence, despite keeping lots of clean sheets, still look a bit dodgy. There was a few dodgy moments last night against Villa as well. And so I expect Southampton to score. But if they do, then that will only increase the goals for United, I think. Just going forward, they just look exceptional.
Yeah.
So
it'll wake them up, won't it? It'll be a bit of a kickstart if they were to concede. Because that's what happened in the Bournemouth game, wasn't it? Like, he just went behind relatively early on. And then before a half-time, I think you were 3-1 up, weren't you? So, you know, it can happen.
If I had Vardy, I'd be captaining him for sure against Bournemouth. But I think, I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? Because I thought about a -4 myself because I've got such a strong bench right now. I've got a benching headache every week because I've just done bench boost.
Mm.
You know, at the moment I've got like Luca Dean, Danny Ings and Saïss from Wolves and Pope on my bench. So I thought about maybe getting rid of Dean for a 4.3 defender to sit on the bench and then upgrading Jimenez to Vardy. But I don't really want to take a -4 in order to chase points because, you know, Vardy, you know, might not score. And then you've got him in your team for three tough fixtures to finish off the league. And Leicester have only just started looking a little bit better.
Mm.
They had a bad start, didn't they?
Yeah,
so
they did.
So I don't really want to take a minus four after a 97-pointer. And, you know, despite Jimenez and Wolves not looking great, Jimenez will score again, I think.
Oh, yeah.
This season.
He's not gone longer than four games without a goal. So this
will
be his fourth.
He's got the quality, hasn't he? So, and Everton don't look that solid at the back right now. So, no. You know, I'm going to keep him and I'm going to play him against Everton.
Oh, see, that's the one transfer I'm thinking of doing. I'm thinking of bringing in Ings because I think
Ings has got United at Old Trafford.
Yeah, but at Old Trafford doesn't make a difference because there's no crowds, there's no kind of pressure on them at all. So I just don't really see home or away as a thing anymore at the moment. And he's just, you need to have Danny Ings in. And honestly, watching Wolves in the last couple of games, like Raul Jimenez has just been like abject. Hasn't been getting the ball, hasn't been getting chances. And I don't know, there's just something about Wolves at the moment. They just seem toothless. But like you say, they are playing Everton, and Everton are the most bog-standard side in the Premier League this season. So, I don't know. Mm. I need to do something.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, can you two just help me before we finish with my benching headache? So do I play, at the moment, I'm playing Jimenez and Greenwood, and I've got five across the midfield. Antonio's got a lovely fixture against Norwich, so I want him to play. I've got De Bruyne and Sterling, obviously, who will stay. Fernandez and Pulisic. So I don't really want to change any of my midfield. So it's picking two strikers out of Ings, Jimenez and Greenwood. And then it's whether I play Luka Dean against Wolves or I go for a double Wolves defence against Everton. Like, do you think Everton will score against Wolves, Rich?
We look all right going forward, but the problem is we don't have any midfield at all. I mean, you've seen our goal against Southampton. Dean just played a like diagonal ball to Richarlison. So unless it's going to be like a set piece or something like that, which we score off. So it's a difficult thing to say, really. Luka Dean is probably one of the stronger options to pick. I think he's got more assists than anybody else at Everton and has made more chances than anybody else at Everton from open play this season. So Dean's a must. I think if you were looking for an Everton attacking return from a midfielder or a defender, whether we'll get a result, I don't know. It's too hard to say.
You know, you were talking about Seamus Coleman last week. Mm. I heard a stat on TalkSport that Everton bought him for £170,000.
It wasn't even that. It was £60,000. Everton fans have a chant called 60 grand, Seamus Coleman.
Yeah. 60 grand? Yeah. He's played in the Premier League all that time, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's an absolute... He's got to be the best value player because he's been like the captain of Ireland, he's been captain of Everton for years. And, you know, back in the day before he broke his leg, he was an actual threat going forward in terms of goals. But yeah, love a bit of Seamus. He's only 31, still got a year or so left before he inevitably goes to the likes of Sheffield United.
Little tip for captains while I remember as well. On the fantasyfootballscout.co.uk website, they always run a captain poll each week. So if you want a safe captain pick, then pick the person at the top of that captain poll, or at least make sure that person is in your team, because otherwise it's more than likely going to be a rank killer if they don't return.
All right.
So have a look at that.
Who is it this week?
If you want a safe captain pick, I don't know. I haven't looked yet, but it's normally a good reflection on the teams that are still active in FPL. I think there's about 65% of teams are inactive now. In terms of like percentage of ownership on the actual FPL website, it's not really that reflective of all the active teams. Whereas Fantasy Football Scout and sites like that have good. Yeah. Good stats.
It's got to be Fernandes.
So it's always worth looking at the captain poll there.
It's got to be Fernandes, surely. Just got player of the month. One of the informed players.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because it might be Vardy. But I think Vardy will be up there against Bournemouth. But yeah, it'd be interesting to have a look who's top of that captain poll. Because if Vardy is top, then that minus four to get him in does seem very tempting.
Yeah. Well, it might be Kane. You never know. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put the armband on Kane. Not a triple captain.
Go on.
I'm just going to put the armband on Kane.
Might as well have
Kane.
A bit of fun to finish the season off.
Why not? Got to roll the dice at some point, don't you?
That about covers us for this game week. And obviously, they are coming thick and fast. Saturday morning is the next deadline. So hopefully you've had a chance to listen to this, make your decisions, and then enjoy another weekend of football.
Triple Captain Kane as well, if I could give you any advice.
Triple Captain Kane. We are the Triple Captain podcast. We're at Triple Captain 3 on Twitter. Send us a message there, and enjoy the game weeks.
Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you've got an iPhone, and we can tell that loads of you have because of our analytics on the back end. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, I'll just log in and look at the statistics. And please do leave us a review. It really helps us out. It just makes Apple take us seriously, and it's not for the ego boost,
but it's nice. We do like seeing those 5 stars come in.
We do. We do.
So please
and listen, listen to us. Listen to our tips and just take them on board. We called getting Danny Ings in weeks and weeks and weeks ago.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Over the Influence.
Hi, we're Sharon Hartley and Freddie Bennett from Over the Influence, the alcohol-free podcast.
Where we are in the UK and across the world, drinking is a deep-rooted part of our culture. We drink to celebrate, we drink to commiserate,
and we drink for just about every other excuse in between.
We're here to have an open conversation about our experiences with alcohol and reflect honestly on how living without it has changed our lives.
So if you've ever thought about going alcohol-free or whether you're just sober curious, our podcast is here to support you on your dry journey.
Over the Influence from Sound Rebel.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.